Culture. The Literary Canon. Spine Tingling. How long would it take to read the greatest books of all time?
A precondition for reading good books is not reading bad ones, for life is short, wrote Arthur Schopenhauer in 1851. People are living longer than they did in the German philosopher's day, but the number of books has increased by a much bigger factor. His dictum ought to carry even more weight now than it did then. In issuing it, the famously pessimistic thinker was uncharacteristically optimistic. He thought that readers could reliably discern which books deserved their time and which did not. That faith has waned. The idea of a literary canon has come under attack. Some readers would prize it open to admit more works by women and non-white authors. Others would ditch the concept entirely. In the 21st century, critics have lost cultural clout, and the number of newspapers with book review sections has dwindled. These days, it seems, everyone has their own personal canon. And yet the need for winnowing persists, so much so that book recommendations seem to be almost as popular as the books they suggest. Influencers on BookTok, a literary corner of TikTok, a video app, have replaced the credentialed judges of yore. Thousands of reviewers contribute to Goodreads, a website with tens of millions of members. Rebind, an app that is now in a test version, will let readers of classic books use artificial intelligence to question experts about the texts. The Economist regularly publishes book reviews and recommendations on specific subjects, as well as periodical best book lists. Still, the number of texts that people are told they should read seems overwhelming. One way to manage the deluge is to see where best book lists overlap, on the theory that the books that appear most often must be really worth your while. That's what a website called thegreatestbooks.org has done. Shane Sherman, a computer programmer in Texas, has used more than 300 lists to come up with a list of lists, which he calls, not entirely seriously, the greatest books of all time. G-boats. Mr. Sherman's dataset includes more than 10,000 books, ranked by how often they appear on the constituent lists. Using our interactive graphic, you can search the top 500 and sort them by decade or century of publication, year of publication, language, and length. Americans who read at least one book a year, just over half of adults, get through 11 a year on average. A typical reader would therefore need over 45 years to finish this list of 500 must-reads. To help readers spend their time judiciously, we've included roughly how long it would take to read each book using estimates provided by Harry Tong, the co-founder of howlongtoread.com, a search engine. People read at different speeds, and some books are slower going than others. The data say you should be able to polish off James Joyce's Finnegan's Wake, ranked 325th, in 12 hours. It took one book club 28 years. The top book on this list of lists on July 1st was 100 Years of Solitude, a pioneering work of magical realism by Gabriel Garcia Marquez, published in 1967. Mr. Tong estimates that it takes only 7 hours and 40 minutes of solitude to read, about average for a G-boat. The Great Gatsby, a slim jazz age tale by F. Scott Fitzgerald, ranked second, takes a mere 2 hours and 51 minutes. But number three, Ulysses, also by Joyce, demands a commitment of nearly 15 hours. If you spend 15 minutes a day reading, as the average American does, that'll take you 2 months, which seems like a cheeky demand for a book whose action takes place on a single day. Impatient readers may be relieved to know that there's no correlation between length and greatness. By its nature, a list of lists reflects a cultural consensus. That makes the position of some titles all the more surprising. The highest-ranked book that is not a novel is Dante Alighieri's Divine Comedy, a 14th-century poem about the author's journey from hell through purgatory to paradise. It appears at number 27. The Bible, by Unknown, is the 34th G-boat. Hamlet, the first of Shakespeare's 6 entries, comes in at number 83. The Bible aside, the first non-fiction book to appear at number 60 is The Diary of a Young Girl by Anne Frank, who wrote while hiding from the Nazis in Amsterdam. She was later murdered at Bergen-Belsen, a concentration camp in 1945. Yet popularity can pull rank on profundity. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone is the 134th G-boat, 8 places higher than The Republic by Plato. Most G-boats were originally written in English, and since the start of the 20th century. And the literary compass points almost due west. After 100 years of solitude, set in a country that resembles Colombia, the birthplace of its author, nothing else both set in and by an author based in the global south appears until Things Fall Apart, a historical novel set in Nigeria, at number 50. Mr. Sherman's statistical analysis also involves some old-fashioned gatekeeping, as he varies the weighting of the lists in his database. He updates both the weightings and the rankings as new lists appear. His adjustments seem sensible. He subtracts points from lists that use books only published over short time periods, for example, or that focus on tomes from one region. Alongside the G-boats, Mr. Sherman has devised a global literary canon, which limits each country to 3 books and imaginative literature to 80% of entries. Yet readers hungry for self-improvement as well as entertainment may yearn for the bracing smack of 19th-century-style prescriptiveness, the sort you would have got from Sir John Lubbock's 100 Best Books, a version of which was published in 1887. Homer, Virgil and St. Augustine appear on Lubbock's list. They're all G-boat authors too. The spirit of Lubbock, described as the godfather of best books lists, lives on in the syllabuses of great books courses at some universities. For Schopenhauer, shunning whatever is popular was an important part of reading wisely. You should remember that he who writes for fools always finds a large public. That's probably too dogmatic for the book talk generation. But the more tempered advice of C.S. Lewis, a scholar of literature and author of the Chronicles of Narnia series for children, is worth heeding. It's a good rule. After reading a new book, never allow yourself another new one till you've read an old one in between. If you're reading mainly G-boats, the odds are it'll be time well spent.